That after a judge found their relationship presented the perception of a possible conflict of interest. ABC's Mary Alice Park says Trump wants her disqualified.
The appeal calling Willis, quote, utterly unrepentant about her romantic relationship with former prosecutor Nathan Wade. Judge Scott McAfee, who first heard the Trump team's complaint, was unconvinced Willis benefited financially from her relationship with Wade, but said there was significant appearance of impropriety and ruled only one of them had to leave the case. The Trump team now calling that decision a, quote, plain legal error requiring reversal and asking the Georgia Court of Appeals to weigh in immediately before any trial takes place.
A trial date has not been yet set. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the civic media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got it a Drew good. Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got See? An Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why... I'm a scoring former lover for both of those yeah. players.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the civic media network.
You're covered under the plan, and she says that warrants careful research when enrolling.
I would say first and foremost, look at the provider network restrictions and look at what's available in your area.
Meanwhile, Williams says the push to get more eligible people to sign up coincides with more awareness about preventative care in a post-pandemic world.
They're not only thinking about acute illness, but they're thinking about overall care, like what was the impact of the pandemic? From a psychological standpoint, do you need more support? And then do you also need more coordination of benefits?
This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the low 40s. For tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Slight chance of rain Sunday with a high of 48. Sunday night, some rain in 35 and more rain for Monday with highs near 47. That's weather on WGBW.
It's 39 at our studios.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin, take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this weekend's Civic Media Spotlight, we head to the Todd Alba Show, where Todd and friends of the show, Pat Krylow and Trygve Olsen, discuss the new merchandise available from a former president.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. It is
Pump Day!
Look at that, the Geico Camel right on time. And also right on time, as per usual, on Crossover Wednesday, live from Lake Wissota, Wisconsin, up north, the host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8 across Civic Media. It is our very own Pat Krylow. Pat, thanks for being here.
I'll be with you in a minute. I just got to finish this Bible reading from my Trump Bible over here. I can come back to it later.
Any hello there. Hello, how are you doing?
good. There's a lot of stuff that's redacted in this Trump Bible.
Really?
Entire commandments are blacked out on here. Can't imagine why.
Going to get to that in a second. Per usual, Pat Krylow always joins us, or when he can, which is almost always. We always appreciate that on Crossover Wednesday. Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who normally joins us at this time as well, on vacation with the family over spring break. But by golly, here's the kind of guy Trygve is. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. So Pat's been so kind as to join us in the first half hour. We appreciate that. But yes, Pat, on your show this morning, you and I were talking about these Trump Bibles. And if, for those of you who have not heard, the Trumpster has teamed up with former country music legend, I guess, maybe, Lee Greenwood, who had the iconic song, God Bless the USA. Now, look, I've always thought it was a great song. I love the song. Nothing wrong with the song. But now Lee Greenwood has gone full-blown mega here and joined up with Trump, and they are selling Bibles. God bless the
USA. Not just Bibles. God bless the USA Bibles that include the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and those other things.
Well, last time I checked, those documents were not written to the time of Christ, although we're sounding more and more the Bible under Trump is becoming the Book of Mormon.
Well, it really takes that Christian nationalism and just embraces it, just leans right in and says, yep, we would love this country to go from democracy to theocracy as quick as can be.
And by the way, this, just make sure people understand, this is not a bit. This is not a joke. This is real.
You know, I had to do a double take, and I'm like, okay, that's not AI. That's actually the former president of the United States going full-blown, you know, church and state bound together for just $60 plus shipping.
There you go. He literally now, literally is
selling.
Wait,
how much did you say it costs?
$60. 60.
Okay, I thought it took me a second to process that because that's ludicrous.
Yes, well, again, when you compare it to a $400 pair of golden sneakers,
the deal,
you know, the Trump sneakers, but I think they throw in a box of Trump steaks, which have been around for many years since that company, you know, went bankrupt.
But, I mean, he's literally now selling Christian nationalism. I mean, if there's any doubt, I mean, this is it, right? So it's a King James Bible for, yes, $60, as Pat said, also contains the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance. In the video sales pitch, Trump says, quote, "Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. We must make America pray again."
When unquote. He says that, we must make America pray again. I just thought, oh my gosh, the things a grifter will do when you've got nothing, when right. you are scraping by to post a bond to, you know, keep your one of your many criminal cases alive, yeah, you'll start scrounging the couch for spare change and telling people to buy your Bibles.
Liz Cheney, it's of sad. Course, who is now not only another Trumper, and has said she, like Paul Ryan's, not coming to the Republican convention in Milwaukee. Cheney has gone a step further from not only saying she won't vote for Trump, but now on The View here a couple weeks ago said she'll be voting for Joe Biden. And Liz Cheney trolled Trump's desperation for votes and money, suggesting that instead of selling Bibles, Trump read one. Here is the tweet from Liz Cheney in response. Quote, "Happy Holy Week, Donald. Instead of selling Bibles, you should probably buy one and read it, including Exodus 20:14. To quote the Bible, Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery."
See, I told you that one was redacted here. It's not there for some reason. Yeah. Wow.
But I mean, I love a saucy Liz Cheney. I mean, she can't stand the guy. She's going after him. I love it.
All I'm saying, I said it this morning as well, is ask yourself how you'd react if you saw Hillary Clinton doing this.
Yes.
If you saw Joe Biden doing this, if you saw Barack Hussein Obama, mm-hmm. you know, selling Bibles like this, as Trump always uses his middle name. I mean, can you imagine your TV would blow up even if you weren't watching Fox News. It would blow up because of the outrage that would be expressed on there.
Yes.
And that's all we ask people is put the shoe on the other foot and say, what would you do here? What would you do? Because you know what we'd do if we saw a Democrat doing that? We'd be just as merciless. Yeah. I'd be rolling my eyes like crazy and saying, what are you doing?
Or you know, think of someone of a different faith, right? I mean, think yes. of Bernie Sanders saying, you know, that it's going to be something.
Ilhan Omar,
right? Yes, Ilhan Omar is going to bring out the Quran. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people go apoplectic, and so would I. I mean,
when they talk about it, just gets us into we want our tax dollars to go to private religious schools, and to of course. But only if they're Christian schools, if,
right.
you know, God forbid it's a madrasa or something else like that. But because when you throw it there, suddenly they're backtracking. But as long as they can get away with, you know, a wink and a nod at moving, you know, money and getting votes by playing the religion card, they're going to do it.
Yeah, totally agree. Pat, kind of a potpourri here in the first half hour, or as we say back in Richland Center, a potpourri. But we have a potpourri of information here. We talked a little bit about yesterday with Matt Flynn, who was on the program yesterday. I know Jay Matt Nair has talked about it on Matt Nair on Air. I know you mentioned it as well. These referenda that are coming up next week, a week from yesterday, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, a lot of people have questions about it. Matt Flynn yesterday, in his opinion, walked through why people should vote no on both of these statewide referendums. Your thoughts, Pat Kreitlow?
Oh, they are completely unnecessary. And again, show what happens when you can't convince people that your ideas are good, then you look for some kind of a shortcut if you're in, you know, today's conservative ranks. Mm. And they have these ideas as bills, of course, to have some kind of a ban on outside money and a ban on outside assistance. They knew that, you know, Governor Evers would veto it. So now they're trying this end run, you know, to get to the voters and try to convince them that it's a good thing. And it you know, people are working hard this week to let people know that, look, the solution is to adequately fund them in the first place. That's the first thing the legislature should have done is say, oh, are they not getting enough to administer elections? Let's take care of that because we want our elections to be free and fair, safe, secure, and, you know, properly funded. But they're not doing that. They're just saying, we don't want any outside money coming in. And if you don't have enough money because, you know, we're not giving you any more of it, well, that's just too bad for you. And that's not the way somebody should govern unless you're part of a party that likes to obstruct free and fair elections.
If you want to more information, perhaps you have information on Up North News, Pat, on your website there, your newsletter on this?
If we don't, I'll get it up there, you know, post haste.
Just like
know.
To give you a,
you say it, I play it. You know,
just like to give you a plug, but I was also going to plug our friend Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area. He has a great article there as well. It's headlined "Good in Theory, Bad in Practice, Worse in Process: Why You Should Vote No on the Two Statewide Referendum Questions to Amend the Constitution, Wisconsin Constitution." You can find that at the Recombobulation Area. News. Great article there.
He's never given me any reason not to say the following. Just read everything he puts out.
Yeah.
Because it's so spot on. So yes, absolutely. Whatever Dan has written about the constitutional amendment proposals, I think is going to be, like I said, 100% right.
Another issue coming up on Tuesday, not so much an issue, but what's going on in terms of the election, Pat. And you're a former Democratic state legislator, state senator here in the state of Wisconsin. Would love your thoughts on this. And there was an article yesterday in the Cap Times by Aaron McGroarty, and it's called "Uninstructed Primary Movement in Wisconsin Boasts New Endorsements." And there was a group of predominantly state legislators, some local legislators who are on the Democratic side of the spectrum, I would say progressive side of the spectrum, who are encouraging people to vote uninstructed, basically present in the Democratic primary, not to support Joe Biden. Their rationale is over what's happening in Palestine and Gaza and Israel. And I've said, I certainly think the atrocities in Gaza are terrible. I also recognize it's very complex. And I just don't think that it does anybody any good to vote uninstructed. In fact, I think Republicans will use that against Joe Biden. But what are your thoughts as a Democrat?
No, that's exactly what they'll do. And that's why, for that exact reason, a vote for uninstructed is a vote to boost Donald Trump's candidacy. Period. Yeah. End of sentence. Has nothing to do with anything else going on in the world, no matter how serious it is. And it is serious. But in the context of how that vote will be interpreted by the media and by moderate swing voters looking at that, they'll see that as, you know, a reason to consider Trump, who would be, you know, an unmitigated disaster back in office with the Mideast in turmoil like it is. You got to think of this as a binary choice, because that's what it is. This is no time for Ralph Nader. This is no time for Jill Stein. You know, it is time to choose one or the other, one who's going to defend democracy and, you know, a stable world stage, and one who is chaos.
Speaking of chaos, coming up next, Pat Kreitler and I discuss Derek Van Orten. Stay with us on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights, was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Civic Media Spotlight. To stay up to date with all the content across the Civic Media website, remember to download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded on your smart device. We now go to the Earl Ingram Show, where Earl and guest Dr. Robert Craig discuss the two ballot referendums that will be on the April 2nd ballot this upcoming Tuesday.
I'm walking in rhythm, singing my
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than Dr. Robert Krieg, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Question number two, Dr. Krieg, on the ballot. Question number two would provide that only elected officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. These provisions already exist in statutes that have been in place for some time. Our legislature has not identified any specific need for this constitutional amendment. The lack of any rationale for this proposal raises suspicions about the real reason behind this effort. Will you simplify what that means, Dr. Krieg? We're not attorneys, so we don't know.
Well, everyone's guessing as to what the motive is. It is in law now. So the constitutional provision doesn't change anything other than making it harder to ever change that law. Are they afraid that Democrats will gain control of the legislature and will change the law? Or is there some conspiracy out there with QAnon or some of their caucus where it's made up? Or is there some deeper motive because they have right-wing billionaire-funded legal experts who figure out what they want to do? It probably came from somewhere, and it probably has some nefarious purpose. The most benign might be just that need to appease some of their own people if they have a made-up conspiracy about it. But it does seem to aid if there's nothing in these amendments that ever makes the legislature adequately fund our elections. They can defund the elections. That's what they're doing. That's a way to think about this. And therefore, if you say that they can't take outside money and they can only use their own staff, it aids their long-term vision that it'll be very, very hard for people to vote.
You know, Dr. Krieg, myself personally, I don't ever tell people which way to vote. That's unlike conservative talk, which tells people who they should vote for. I just think there's something wrong with that, but you know, that's for another show. But if I'm when I get ready to vote, because I vote on election day, I'm one of those traditionalists. And so when I go to vote and I look at those questions, which all of us do when we look at that ballot, we're going to be totally confused. And that's the reason why they've done this. And people should understand that, right? I mean, that's the reason that that's there. That if they wanted you and me to understand what it was about, they would have written it in a manner that the average voter would understand it. Is it safe to say that?
Well, look, I mean, if you're against democracy, then you don't want voters to understand anything, right? Because right. If they understand things, they might know how to vote in their own interest. And you don't want that because you want to act against their interests and convince them otherwise. Again, it's the political version of the Trump grift. So if you want to vote for these amendments, I'd also suggest you buy a Trump Bible, that you buy some Truth Social stock right now that's badly overvalued, and that you buy, if you can get a hold of them, those gold, weird, silver, quarter-dollar shoes. And I don't know. People can call in with other Trump paraphernalia that folks should be considering. I don't think you can enroll in Trump University anymore and get scammed there.
Or Trump stakes. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. How about, I think it was a coffee cup with his mugshot on it, something like that.
A T-shirt with his mugshot on it. Yeah, yeah.
The amendments are pretty clearly designed to fiddle around with our voting system and to try to make it as inaccessible as possible. That seems pretty clear. I've been watching this for, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years, as my voting place, and I've been in the same address since 2004, and my voting place has changed at least three times, and I'm not quite sure why in that time. There's been no real explanation for it. But the second, I think some of it has to do with the fact that polling places have and voting in general has had its funding either cut or held steady when everything else has increased in price. The Second Amendment is a little bit more concerning to me. I've been an observer for three out of the last four elections. I'll be out of town for this one. But I've been working with the women's group, League of Women Voters, and I've been one of their election observers. And that Second Amendment seems to me to be designed to be able to say, if you don't want somebody there and they're not officially on the voting staff, you could simply say, no, we're not going to let you in. And that's pretty nasty, because it could mean that, for instance, you could hire your lackeys to do the election work, and there could be some very interesting vote counts that way. Or you could at least claim that there are issues with the vote count. That amendment, I think, is very dangerous. These are, of course, presented as amendments because the governor would almost have certainly vetoed them if they'd been passed in the regular legislature. Of course, as pointed out, the second one has basically says the same thing. And constitutional amendments are extremely difficult to overturn. That's another issue. I can't remember. There've been since the state was formed in the 1840s, there have been something over 100 amendments, and something around half of those have been overturned as people have looked at them and seen what they what they do and said, this is not right. And it's very difficult to do that. That's the problem, and especially in today's political climate and in a purple state.
Hey, Jack, man, thank you for, that information, and I wish we had more time. Dr. Craig, we'll get give you a chance to respond on the other side, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you, on the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, news, weather, and sports. Moving in sound. On into the music. Trying to move on. I'm walking in rhythm. Singing my song. The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Baltimore, salvage crews beginning the long task of cutting up and removing the key bridge collapse when the cargo ship hit this week. Maryland's Governor Wes Moore at a press conference today says recovery efforts are also a priority for the four maintenance workers presumed dead. He says the waters, though, remain too dangerous for divers to go in.
We're not just talking about weather and wind. We're talking about debris. We're talking about wreckage. We're talking about pieces of a key bridge that are in the water.
Tonight in Israel, demonstrators out again protesting against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his government, demanding new elections. Some families of hostages still held by Hamas in Gaza also there, demanding the prime minister bring them home. A trio of aid ships left the Cyprus port today, bound for Gaza and packed with 400 tons of food, all to help stave off hunger after nearly 6 months of war. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Mets 7-6. Milwaukee jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the first and held on for the win. Tempers flared in the first game of the season Friday when the Brewers' Reese Hoskins had a hard slide into second. Coverage on the Mets TV network.
A tough pickup from McNeil. They're going to call the out. They are. And then an overslide at second base by Hoskins. And we have some hard feelings as Hoskins has words. Both benches have emptied. The bullpens are joining it as well.
No punches were thrown. Milwaukee went on to win the game 3-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That shows what Reese is about. He's a big league ball player. He's sending the message that even when you're not having the day you like at the plate, you know, I'm going to play hard.
College basketball Marquette season came to a close after losing to NC State 67-58 in the NCAA's men's tournament. The Golden Eagles finished with a record of 27-10. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the low 30s. A cloudy sky for tomorrow, maybe a shower, high in the upper 40s. It looks mostly cloudy Monday, a slight shower chance, high mid-40s. An early flurry or rain shower, then clearing for Tuesday, high into the upper 40s. It's 39 right now.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If it seems you are being asked to donate pretty often these days, Lisa Schiller with the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau says you probably are, and she's hearing from residents about it.
They're getting aggressive calls, they're getting mailers in the mail asking for donations, and they want to know where their money is going.
Schiller says ask questions and understand the difference between a political action committee 527 and a nonprofit charity.
You have to really pay attention to name confusion. The use of the words police and firefighter, veterans, cancer. The name of the organization does not necessarily mean that the charity is engaged in these issues. And I think that's the important thing to remember.
Find more information at BBB.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in a quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now at WGBW.FM. Your news just for the Green Bay area. I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media Spotlight. We now head to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, where Pete is joined by Todd Townsend, his cousin and former Marquette Golden Eagle guard, to discuss Marquette's appearance in the Sweet 16.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
Coming up at 8:05, to help celebrate National Joe Day is my son, Joe Schwabe. He will also be playing Office Jeopardy, because Ben Chan was here last night, the Jeopardy champ, and said he was not versed in Jeopardy or in Office Trivia. So the Office dropped this week, 19 years ago. We'll talk to Joe about that. Pete Moore coming up later in the show. And tonight's question, get in on the fun, folks. What celebrity would you want to hang with before they became famous? Pete Moore waited tables with Steve Carell. Has a funny story about that. So let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, we're broadcasting live statewide from our beautiful downtown Green Bay studios. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest. He is a former Marquette University Golden Eagle. He was on the Final Four team in 2003, and he is my cousin, Todd Townsend. Todd, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, guys. What's up, cuz? How are you?
I'm doing all right, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Like, how can you not be doing good in the month of March? You know, you get basketball.
Indeed.
Kids are on spring break. Yeah, kids are on spring break. You know, being in Wisconsin, the gray skies can get to you a little bit, but you know, it's that's the Midwest for you.
You got a few kids there and they're on spring break, so you probably welcomed an invitation to come on the radio and have a few minutes apiece in your man cave there or whatever.
It was so funny. I was like, I gotta be quiet. I gotta get them up to their room, And they're just, you know, they're, you know, candy and everything right now that, you know, it's all the things they can't do during a normal week. They're allowed to do now. So it's their bedtime is normally around this time. They're probably up until about 9:30.
All right. That's not too bad. Won't be too tough to get them back on the schedule. But be that as it may, Todd, I know you're a busy guy. Appreciate your time and jumping on tonight. I'm trying to figure out how we start here. Let's start with your career at Marquette. 2003, mm-hmm. You're on the Final Four team. You got Travis Diener, Dwayne Wade, Tom Crean was the coach. Mm-hmm. You were there during a very exciting time. Can you talk a little bit about those times?
You know, it's different because we didn't have social media then. I think Facebook just started.
Yeah.
Not most people wasn't on it, you know. And we didn't have Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, didn't have Instagram. And I felt like the moment lasted longer for us than I think student athletes today or athletes in general. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, you know, obviously, you know, you're on radio shows, when you win, everyone wins, you know, they're writing stories about the walk-ons and the assistant coaches and things of that nature. I don't remember much of the games, especially that last one where we got crushed. But, you know, I remember the bus rides. I remember the plane rides. I remember the grind more than anything. My teammates and the friendships that we struck. And last year we just celebrated. We celebrated for the first time actually ever last year. It was the 20-year reunion.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it was crazy. You know, it was one of those things where as soon as we made the Final Four, Dwayne was off to get prepared for the NBA. We were student athletes, so class was there. We never got a chance to party with the students because we were traveling. And last year we got together for the first time as a team. And I mean, Marquette did a great job. I think we had about three or four celebrations, you know, throughout the year, and it was fun. It was awesome.
That's so cool. What's it like when you guys get together? I mean, you're so tight for that time, and to go to the Final Four for the first time in, you know, three decades almost.
Yeah.
Is that bond when you get back together? Do you pick up right where you left off, or is there a little bit of awkwardness at first?
There's no awkwardness at all. There's zero. You know,
cool.
It's like spending Thanksgiving with your cousins. You know, it's like, you know, you have an advance party. You don't see each other for a long time. We do have a group chat where we are very active in. And we got, you know, a title Final Four team. And I mean, every member is in that chat. Dwayne, Tom Crean, Novak, Travis, you know, the walk-ons, Jared, Tony, like everyone's in it. And we tease each other throughout the year. We wish each other happy birthday, but when we're back together, it's like Dwayne's not D-Wade. He's not this Hall of Fame NBA player. He's like your teammate. And you can tease him and do all these things no different than what we did from 01 to 05, you know, when we were there. And it's an awesome, unreal feeling that I'm sad that a lot of people don't get a chance to, I think, enjoy. You know,
yeah.
And so it's phenomenal.
Do you guys, so like last weekend, were you in that group chat? Were you all going back and forth? Is that, that never
I think our side group, our side group chats were, you know, we were, some could be a little bit more critical of Marquette basketball throughout the year than others. Right. And, but we do text, and it's like, last night I was at the Bucks game and I ran into Novak. He does TV for them. And with it being a national televised game, he was off, but he still went to the game with his family. And he was like, hey man, you want to try to go to Dallas, you know, and go watch them play and, you know, things of that nature. And we talk, and we celebrated one of our, one of my teammates' wife's birthday down at Victor's. It was the bar. And
oh, in Milwaukee?
Yeah,
in Milwaukee. Oh my gosh, that place is still there? Victims?
Yeah, yeah, it's still there. It's up for sale, by the way. And it's, but it was, you know, we're getting together and we're talking about these young guys and watch them improve. And we've gotten a chance. Shaka has been phenomenal. I mean, he has been phenomenal. Like, we have been involved with this team since the moment that he's gotten a job. Because of NIL, we've done some community service stuff together, projects, and interact with these young men, Pete. Like, it's, I've never been prouder of our university.
Wow.
You know, I think all together, you know, they made a run 10, you know, 11 years ago. I was still coaching. I wasn't really included. My teammates were still playing basketball. So we wasn't as, you know, we followed them, we rooted for them, but I don't know if I ever rooted more for a Marquette basketball team to be successful.
That is,
you know,
that is so great hearing you say that, because I assumed you were rooting for them, but the fact that you still feel that connection with the university. And that was one of my questions for you, Todd. Shaka Smart, tell me he's not going anywhere.
I mean, I hope not. I mean, it's one of those things, like, 3 days, 4 days into the job, he calls me, and I don't know why. You know, like, it's, there's, you know, thousands of former players. There's people that have impacted the program more than I did. And he called, and his memory is phenomenal. You know, he talked about being an assistant coach at Dayton when I played, and, you know, we talked about certain plays. Like, he's an unbelievably smart person, and sometimes that does not correlate to, from a social standpoint, because he does a good job of asking questions. So his mind is working like fillers, and then it like almost hits him and you kind of see it. And he goes, man, 2002, 2003, you guys played us at Dayton in mid-December and blah, blah, blah. But then watching him coach, he invited me to a practice, and then I watched him coach. And again, and I coached for 16 years. I've been around a lot. I've been in it. He doesn't waste words with his players. He doesn't waste words and energy with his staff. Like, he speaks with a purpose. Everything he does is with a purpose. It's genuine. And to answer your question, I mean, it would be really, really, really hard to replace someone like that. Not that someone can't come in and have similar success,
sure,
but the overall package is really hard.
That is the voice of Todd Townsend. He is a former Marquette University Golden Eagle who went to the Final Four in 2003 on that really exciting team. Talk about beating Kentucky, Todd, that year. That was pretty cool. They were the number one seed, right?
Yeah, they were number one seed. They were number one team, and they were the number one overall seed, number one team in the country. You know, they had something ridiculous, like they didn't trail for, you know, all of league play since, like, you know, like, not even like down 2-0. They were really good, you know, but I think it's easier when you have a Hall of Famer guard on your team. And so that was, you know, it's this time of the year you see flashbacks, commercials, and Instagram reels of that game. And I still can't believe I was a part of it.
You know what's funny is I remember I lived in Los Angeles at the time, 2003. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I had met you yet, because you kind of came into the family just a few years earlier. So I remember we were like rooting for you, even though I hadn't met you yet. And it was, I still felt this connection to you. So I got to live vicariously a little bit. I also want to say, Todd, you're what, 6'7"?
Yeah, I'm getting shorter now. Now that I don't have to play, I'm 6'6". Yeah.
Okay. My brother Andy is 6'6". I'm barely 6 feet. At my height, I wasn't quite 6 feet. Kevin, Kyle, Jack, they're all tall. You guys all, I always wanted to be taller. I remember when I went to DePaul University and I played intramural ball, all I wanted to do all day is play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in and he was having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game. And he goes, "Hey guys, can I get a dunk?" And somebody throws him the ball and he runs in and powers it down. And I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know? So I admire you and your height and your basketball ability. It's just phenomenal. Yeah. So, all right. So you guys beat Kentucky. When did Tom Crean leave then? He left shortly after, right?
No. He actually, so that was my sophomore year. I stayed, you know, then I graduated 2 years later in 05. And then I actually stayed on a coaching staff for 2 years.
Oh, yeah, right.
A young coach for 05, 06, 06, 07. And then 05, 06, 06, 07. 07, 08 was his last year at Marquette. And that's where he then went to Indiana University. Right. You know, after that. So, you know, I think, you know, five, six years after the Final Four, he saw Marquette change conferences, oversaw that to get them into the Big East Conference. And you know, he had some success, you know, going to a better league too than Conference USA. And, you know, the one thing about Tom is that he took Marquette where in the 90s they were so inconsistent. They had some really good teams and they dipped. We had coaches leave, you know, take other jobs. And then, like, when he got the job in 99, you know, Wisconsin had that magical year. You know, we don't say that word too often in this house, you know, but they had that magical year. Green Bay had that. I think basketball in the state of Wisconsin was so. It was like he came at the right time. Bo Ryan came at the right time. Bruce Pearl came at the right time. You know, like Coach Bennett was, you know, in Green Bay. And now you're starting to see that again here. Yeah. And I think you're going to see it. You're going to see this again here. You guys got Sundance Wicks in Green Bay. He's a friend of mine. We worked together. He did, you know, UWGB had a magical year. Milwaukee's back on that path. Yeah. And, you know, so like you get these coaches, you have these personalities, you know, in these places. And, you know, that's, and again, maybe that's Coach Lombardi, like, you know, looking over the state of Wisconsin, sprinkling in and, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But I, you know, it's been magical, you know, and fun to watch the state of Wisconsin from a basketball standpoint.
That's so,
you know,
cool. My guest is Todd Townsend. Coming up next, I want to get Todd's predictions for this weekend. Mm. We'll do that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings from 7 till 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Matinee on Air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matinee on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Civic Media Spotlight now heads to southeastern Wisconsin for a segment from the Don Rosen Show, where Don is joined by guest Rick Toler to talk about the Royal Family Kids Camp for foster children.
It's 7:08 at WRGN. Rick Taylor's here. We're talking about the Royal Family Kids Camp, and it takes place in June, right? And
that is correct.
In Lake Geneva, and this is, I was talking to Rick during the break there and telling him about all these things I've seen this past week that are just unbelievable. I know a lot of people have seen the 2020 episode about Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand, the child abuse that took place. And now her kids, Ruby Frankie's kids, are in foster care because they can't ever get... First, she went to prison for 30 years, but they can't. These kids have to be reprogrammed into normal kids again. And it's not going to come fast because they live through years and years of physical abuse that a human... You'd have to go to a Nazi prison camp to find worse. I mean, that's how bad it is. So I can imagine that. And then we talked about what went on at the Nickelodeon channel. There's a series there called Quiet on the Set where just these children are just abused. And they don't say anything because they're told not to, or your career will go down the tubes. And they're afraid of that. But, you know, one time somebody spoke up and that was the end of that. But this is going on at Nickelodeon, which is a big channel. Warner Brothers owns them. And anyway, so these kids are foster kids, and you decided, your wife's name is Susan? Susan. Yeah. Susan and Rick decided they're, you know, get these kids out of the house for 1 week a year. No cares, no worries. You don't have to think about it, no stress, nothing. All you do is just have to have fun.
That's what we do with the kids. It's actually an international organization that started back in the 80s, and we jumped on the bandwagon in about 23 years ago in Racine. And so that's how long our camp has been going on. One of the kids I'd like to tell you a little bit about, these kids, as you say, they have a backstory, and it includes abuse and neglect and abandonment and, you know, from their own biological families. And it's so severe that, you know, human services or the police have to get involved, obviously. But even when they're taken out of their homes, it's the only homes that they've ever known. It's very disruptive to them. They probably think
this is normal life.
It is normal life for them.
They don't know what it's like to be a normal kid. They think, oh, everybody's beaten at school. Oh, everybody's handcuffed at school. Everybody's verbally abused at school. They don't know.
Yeah, it's they're enculturated into it. And until somebody from the outside says, hey, something's not right here, and steps in to help them, then that's when we as law enforcement get involved and human services. But then for Royal Family, we take these kids. We have one counselor for every two campers to provide the children with, to meet the needs that their hearts desire. And it provides a catalyst for rebuilding trust for these kids. One story about our campers who trusted his counselor enough to share some of the deep hurts that he was experiencing. And I'm going to share this from the counselor's perspective. 7-year-old Austin was having trouble sleeping at night, so he started talking to me. I learned that Austin's mom died of a drug overdose just 7 months earlier. Then, for the next 5 months, Austin and his sister lived with their dad, even out of his car in Racine, until his dad abandoned them. At this point, Austin looked up at me, and I noticed tears. I was struggling to hold back tears, and he asked me if my eyes were watering, and I told him it's because I could feel his pain. And he said, did your daddy abandon you? And I had to tell him, yes, my daddy abandoned me when I was 5 years old. Needless to say, I could relate to Austin's pain and unanswered questions from his father's abandonment. That night at Royal Family Kids Camp, 7-year-old Austin went on to share how he had felt that he had the hardest life of any kid and how much he was hurting. I could hear the confusion and pain in his voice. I let him know that good could still come into this world for him, even though he was still hurting. He didn't want to believe that his life could ever be better, but he mentioned that he did like camp, and I shared that sometimes good things do come out of bad places, and like, you know, right now he's at camp, so he can have some enjoyment. Austin expresses fears for his father. Well, what's dad going to eat? What's he going to do? I'm afraid for him. He doesn't have any money. I shared that God could take care of his dad, just like God brought him to camp to be with people to help him and his sister. This started to bring hope and peace to Austin, and we prayed for God that dad would, that he would intervene and dad would be good. At that point, I had to walk away and go to the restroom and cry. I prayed that God would make things right in this boy's life. When I came out, Austin was still awake, and he said, "The camp song is stuck in my head. The one that says, 'My God is so big and so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.'" Austin was starting to believe things would be okay. Morning came, and Austin shot out of bed and said, "It's morning already? I felt like I slept for only 5 minutes." That night, peace finally entered Austin's little heart and overcame the fear that had entered the night that he was abandoned.
You know, and I can't relate to this because I've told you many times I came from the Leave It to Beaver household where everything was just perfect. I mean, nobody was ever abused. Nobody was ever hit. There was a threat of being hit if we screwed up. We never knew when my father was going to crack, so we just stayed on the straight and narrow, but never hit us. Mm-hmm. I mean, never. My mother was never hit us. We just weren't that. They weren't those kind of parents. So I can't relate to having parents on drugs, mothers in prostitution, families that are gambling their entire life savings away. You know, I can't relate to that, but I've seen it. I was telling you off the air about that Ruby Frankie story and this guy who, the little kid abused, comes up to his door, rings his doorbell and says, "Can you take me to the police station?" And the guy started crying, looking at this kid. He's just talking to the police and crying his eyes out when he was looking at this little kid. He was a well-behaved, sitting there, not excitable, just sitting there with his, you know, his bleeding and with his duct tape all over his arms and legs. And how do you treat another? Forget kids. How do you treat another human like that? I mean, it's just horrible. But for 1 week out of the year, all your troubles go away. I think I need that. I think I need 1 week out of the year where I don't think about anything.
Yeah, that's good if you can do that.
Why don't you and Susan start a camp for stressed out people in Lake Geneva? Once a year, all the stressed out adults go there. Well, and we can sit there and just relax for a week. That's what I need. No radio for 1 week of my life. Nothing to think about. So hold on. We're talking to Rick Taylor more about the Royal Family Kids Camp. And I forgot to do it, but I promise you, right in the spring. Coming up right after the break here at WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed. Sunshine today on this Good Friday with a high near 43. Some showers tonight. Cloudy, slight chance of showers tomorrow for the extravaganza going on at the Racine Zoo. It's 7:19.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Salvage crews began work in Baltimore's harbor to clear sections of the mangled steel key bridge that collapsed after a huge cargo ship slammed into it. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Shannon Gilreath says the crane lifts will move ahead slowly.
Every time you do this, you occasionally encounter challenges, and you got to work around those when you do. And so we're going to do it safely because we don't want to injure any of those workers that are doing that work.
President Biden set to visit Baltimore next week. The president signing off on sending more weapons to Israel, part of a previous package approved by Congress. A second aid ship has left Cyprus on its way to deliver more food and aid to Gaza. Open Arms spokesman Juan Camilo Jimenez says it's packed with 400 tons of food.
We have camp product, we have flour, rice, we have dates, and this will be arriving the next days for the people of Gaza.
Israel's prime minister says he's ready to jumpstart talks on a ceasefire deal. This is ABC News. In Oregon, a man is recounting how a recent construction site mishap nearly saw him face a 4-foot blade when